Listen, when you get a good night of sleep, you know you're going to have energy. When that happens, you feel good. You feel awesome. That's why you need to be sleeping on a Casper mattress. It helps you get a great night of rest. You see, the Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams to give you a great night of sleep. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Its breathable design lets you sleep cool, and this is something I didn't know. It also regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And let me tell you, there are lots of people raving about the Casper mattress. More than 20,000 others love their Casper mattress, giving it an average rating of 4.8. You cannot argue with results like that. And here's yet another reason. The price will not keep you up at night. You can also order sheets, pillows, and that will give you the complete Casper experience. Why is it so affordable? Well, Casper cuts out the middleman and delivers it straight to you. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Right now, for my listeners, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/jungle. Once again, casper.com/jungle. Use the promo code jungle at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, casper.com/jungle, promo code jungle. Seriously, that Friday rolled around pretty quickly. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome.
It is Friday,
Hood. Live in Southern California, in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. What's up? Welcome to the program. It's not like I grinded out this week or anything, but I'll take that deck of yeah nonetheless, Alvin.
Yeah! 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 Yeah!
Two is more than none. The 2 days that were, coming up a little bit later on. The Alvin DeLauro special. All right, good Friday show for you. Let's make sure we go into the weekend and do it the right way. Let's come strong. 1-800-636-8686. I'm having a good day. In fact, I'm having a great day. I hope you are too. Go to the weekend strong. Call me. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at habitate.com. I was hyped up yesterday because I came back after a few days off. I think a number of you thought that I was not going to work the last 2 days this week. You showed up in a very good way. I'm looking for you to go back to back. Show up today the way you showed up yesterday. And by that, I mean get on the phones. Attack the phones. Hit it hard. The smack off is in 14 days. We have today. We have next week. Then we have the following Friday. You are running out of time. In terms of the show itself, coming up in 15 minutes, Lee Jenkins joins us, a senior writer for SI. Lots to talk about with the NBA offseason, which is exactly where I'm going to start in a minute. But Lee Jenkins joins me in 15 minutes. Ice Cube, coming up next hour. Rapper, actor, co-founder of the Big Three League. Cube, diehard Laker fan. We'll check in with him in the second hour. Kevin Ioli, a Yahoo Sports Combat Sports reporter, joins me in the third hour. We had Daniel Cormier on yesterday. We'll get his thoughts on UFC 226. So all of that coming up. And phone lines are open. Yesterday was a great phone call day. Let's make it two in a row. Let's go back to back. If you need some help, though, here it is. Let me start with the NBA offseason. I want to get some thoughts in before I have Lee Jenkins on next segment. Like, the NBA offseason, to me, is the greatest offseason, and there's nothing that's even close. I mean, think of all the great stories from over the years. The DeAndre Jordan emoji fest slash hostage situation. Legendary. But even since the last year, look at everything we've seen. Chris Paul traded to Houston. Paul George traded to OKC. Melo traded to OKC. Kyrie Irving traded to Boston. Paul George stays in OKC. LeBron goes to LA. And, of course, the annual Dwight Howard meeting, which I'll get to later on. I mean, honestly, nothing is better. Nothing is better, and nothing is even close. And on top of that, there's even more. Because of all those things that I mentioned, none of those things can touch the bizarre saga of Kawhi Leonard and San Antonio. And part of what makes that story so beautifully weird, and as always, weird is awesome, is that neither the Spurs nor Leonard ever say Jack. Both sides are mime-like in that regard, so it's nearly impossible to decipher exactly what's going on. It's hard to know what's real and what's not. It's hard to know who's the bad guy here and who's not. I mean, did the Spurs screw this thing up by damaging that relationship with Kawhi over his medical situation? Or are Kawhi and his team shooting dirty pool? It's almost impossible to know. Now, friend of the program, Tom Haberstroh, had ESPN Spurs reporter Michael C. Wright on the back-to-back podcast, and some of the intel that was dropped here is gold. For instance, this one from Wright. Wright says that Kawhi wants to play. We know this. That he wants to play in Los Angeles. We know that. However, while it's Los Angeles, it might not be where you think it is. Quote, the Lakers are not Kawhi's preferred destination anymore. He wants to go to the Clippers because he doesn't want to go and be second fiddle to LeBron. That's what I was told. I was told by somebody that would know. So right now, the Clippers are where he wants to go. But I'm also told, I talked to people within the Spurs organization, and they're like, yeah, he wants to go to the Clippers, but their assets are bleep at this point. End quote. So now dude wants to go to the Clippers, not the Lakers, allegedly. Okay. Hey, let me see if I have this straight. Kawhi doesn't want to play. Follow this for a minute. Kawhi does not want to go to L.A. and be second fiddle to LeBron with the Lakers. Yeah, that's fine. But he's willing to go to a team that is the very definition of second fiddle. The L.A. Clippers. Well, that makes no sense. Nor does the notion that he'd rather play with Wesley Johnson than LeBron. So this guy must go to a team that is the very definition of second fiddle. But oh no, I'm not playing second fiddle to LeBron. I'll just play second fiddle to the entire team. Hey, listen, I understand that Lob City changed a lot of minds for a period of time, but the Clippers are not the Lakers. And if Kawhi is thinking that he'll get the same shine as the face of the Clippers as he would contending for a championship with LeBron, my dude is in for a hell of an awakening. Then again, at this point, Kawhi is a tougher read than LeBron himself. I mean, would you rather be the man and have everybody looking at you at Applebee's or living large with another celebrity in the house at Morton's? I mean, from a publicity standpoint, from a hype standpoint, the second fiddle on a championship Lakers team is the whole damn orchestra compared to the first fiddle on the Clippers. And it's not like it would even be like that forever. I mean, while it may seem like it, LeBron is going to age out at some point. It may seem like he's not going to, but he will. He's going to age out at some point, and probably sooner than later. And if LeBron is competing for rings with the Lakers, and you're competing for a playoff spot with the Clippers, then yeah, you're in Los Angeles, but technically you're not really in Los Angeles. Kawhi, I'm trying to help you out here. If LeBron is competing for rings in L.A., and you're just trying to make the playoffs in L.A., you're not really in L.A. It's like being in Azusa or West Covina. I mean, yeah, it's easier to say you're in L.A. than to get into the details of the San Gabriel Valley. And you can see the downtown skyline if you drive around a little bit. But no, you're not really in L.A. Not if LeBron is with the Lakers and you have a chance to go there. And as weird as that whole thing is, that's not even close to the strangest thing that Wright had to say on that podcast. He also dropped this gem. Quote, there was a point during Kawhi's rehab process in New York that some of the Spurs brass went out to see him in New York. As soon as those guys arrived to the building, Kawhi's people grabbed him and sequestered him to another part of the building. And so the Spurs people couldn't even see him, end quote. I mean, come on. Hold up, what? The Spurs came to check on their franchise player to see how his rehab was going since he decided to do it away from the team. And then when Kawhi's people found out, they tried to hide him somewhere in that building. Hide him from the team that is paying him. They hid their guy. Hid him from what? Hid him from who? What did they think the Spurs were going to do? Kidnap him? I mean, come on. If this is true, If that really is true, that is one of the weirdest, most absurd things I've ever heard in one of the weirdest, most absurd stories I've ever heard. Why the hell would you hide Kawhi somewhere else in the building when the team is just coming to check on him? Exactly what do you have to hide? Were they hiding him from Tony Parker because of all the mean things he said? Were they hiding him from Pop because he said, you'll have to go ask Kawhi's group what's going on? Did they think the Spurs were there for a game of New York City hide-and-seek? And they were just looking for their spot. Were they going to then double down with a game of Marco Polo? Did they think the Spurs were going to stuff Kawhi in a sack and take him back to San Antonio? I mean, this is not a movie. This is not how that works. Kawhi is listed at 6'7", 230. Unless the Spurs sent Tiago Splitter to act as the muscle and shove him into some white, unmarked van, I think Kawhi probably would have been all right if he met with the folks who were scratching his checks. Look, I'm not going to say that just because the team pays your salary, they're entitled to pry into every single aspect of your life. I'm not saying that at all. But if you've been away from the team and they want to meet with you and check on your physical status, maybe you meet with them instead of looking to post up in the nearest broom closet. Again, exactly what do you have to hide from them? You got to beef with the team that's paying you, then sit down man-to-man, hash it out. Don't hide from the man. I mean, if true, that is one of the wackest, most terrible looks ever. Hiding from your team. Quick, man, get him out of here. Hey, Kawhi, there's an escape door over there. There's a broom closet, man. Just stay there till they leave. Listen, I want to be clear about this, too. I don't know how much of this is true, but Kawhi and his advisors couldn't look much worse if it is true. And if this isn't going to help, and it's not going to help him get out of San Antonio, if anything, it's going to hurt his trade value because it makes him and the people around him seem like they're a disaster. We're a couple of weeks now from Greg Popovich getting the USA basketball team together for a mini camp in Vegas. Is Kawhi going to be there, or is he going to go Rocket Ishmael and have his people roll him out in a hamper so nobody sees him? I've given this guy the benefit of the doubt. But, and I am hedging, but if these reports are true, it is impossible to do so at this point. If this guy literally was hiding from the team when they came to check on his physical status, I can't give this guy the benefit of the doubt because that is straight whack. Be like Hawk. I'm like, where's Hawk? Hey, Hawk, where are you, man? Hawk's hiding. Hiding from what? Dude, we're talking about an all-NBA player hiding from his team. I mean, there's no way that's true, right? But the guys reporting it are very reputable, so it very well could be true. Dear James, did you really pose the question, who is the bad guy here? Well, why don't we run down a list? Man, here comes San Antonio. Spurs fan is livid. This guy writes, why don't we run down a list? Dude missed 72 games and made a gazillion dollars. Dude could have played, but chose not to. Dude has never spoken. Dude has LaVar Ball-like clowns advising him. Dude was the king of SA with absolutely no bad press. Dude cost the Spurs another championship with a missed free throw. Dude quit on his teammates. Dude quit on his teammates. Dude quit on his teammates. Are you not sure yet, James? Stephen SA.
Why, baby Leonard?
Again, I'm not privy to exactly what was said. I'm not privy to what the doctors told him. I'm not privy to any of this. Unlike you, Steve, who apparently plays for the Spurs. Steve, you must know everything. Did he quit on his teammates? Maybe, maybe not. Could he have played? Maybe, maybe not. I'm just saying, the more we hear, because we're hearing nothing from Kawhi, the worse it looks. The worse it looks. And if, in fact, his people hid him from the team when they came to check on him, it's one of the worst looks. Again, I'm going to ask the question, how the hell could this happen to that team and that guy? That guy was beloved. That guy was not only the face of the franchise, but the next Tim Duncan. That guy was NBA MVP material. And now his reputation is shot. Troy in the East Bay tweets, Kawhi, yours, Nancy Kerrigan, Kawhi. Why are you making fun of somebody who got hit with a lead pipe on her knee? Anyway, when we come back, Lee Jenkins, I'm sure, can shed some light on this, and we'll talk NBA with him. That's next. Lee Jenkins, Cube, coming up next hour. Clones, you know where I go for my energy products, right? And my sports nutrition and my vitamins. If you don't know, you do now. GNC. And with GNC Auto Deliver and Save, do not worry about missing a daily dose of your favorite vitamins and supplements once you set up your free subscription. GNC is going to take care of the rest, shipping your products automatically free of charge and with 10% off the order. Not to mention, you will never pay a membership fee and you can change your order at any time. Quality shipped, wellness delivered. Visit GNC.com. Or if you'd like, you can walk right into a store nearby. Walk into a store or go to GNC.com, GNC.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I mentioned in the Open, there's nothing quite like the NBA offseason, and then I spent the entire Open talking about Kawhi Leonard. But there's so much more than that. Joining us to break it down is a senior writer for SI, Sports Illustrated, and a very good friend of this program, Lee Jenkins. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
Great, Jim. How are you doing?
Super. Great to talk to you. Lee, I thought you had a great piece breaking down the decision-making process for LeBron James that led him to the Lakers. Let's go back to 3 days after the finals ended. He's having a root canal. What was his mindset and emotional state like at that point?
You know, Jim, I think he was looking – I think every time these guys make these decisions, it comes right on the heels of the finals, right? Right on the heels, generally, of failure. So, you know, watching him kind of leave Quicken Loans Arena that night after Game 4, I mean, it was a guy who'd been slamming his head into a wall probably for a few years and was thinking about what place would give him the best chance to get some results against the Warriors. And I don't necessarily know if he picked the right spot, the best spot for that, given the Rockets and the Sixers' talent. But I think that the Lakers kind of captured his imagination. He always sort of thinks big, right? He thinks grand. Like when he went to Miami, it was a grand plan. Going back to Cleveland, I think he sort of fell in love with the idea of that story and avenging what had happened there. And the Lakers, I think, speaks to something, another sort of large challenge and something where there would be tremendous upside if you were able to pull it off.
Lee Jenkins joining us. All right, so it's interesting when you talk about how that process went. One of the big differences, though, this time, Lee, is the speed in which he made the announcement. Why do you think he made that call as quickly as he did?
I feel like he was leaning this direction for a while. I don't know that for a fact, but you heard so much smoke around the NBA for about a year about LeBron's going to go back to the Lakers. I mean, really, it was even more than a year. And during the finals, I felt like it ramped up even more. And as of last weekend, it was almost, now it was a sure thing, but it felt like everybody was saying that was a hard lean for him. And I think there was sort of a desire not to put Cleveland through. I mean, it's going to be a ringer either way, right? It's going to be a circus either way. But to try to make it as painless or as understated as he could. Again, probably an impossibility with him, but I think that was a lot of the motivation, was that if he knew what he was going to do, you know, this time he was going to try to do it quickly. I mean, you look at the difference in the delivery of each of these free agent decisions going back to 2010, and it's been a pretty dramatic change.
Lee Jenkins joins us. Now, Lee, one thought was that he was coming to L.A. to link up with Kawhi Leonard,
right,
or Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. So what's it say about his process and his motivation that he made that move with no certainty that Kawhi was coming and knowing, in fact, that Paul George was not coming at all?
Yeah, and look, when I saw Paul George, when it came out that he was going back to Oklahoma City for sure, and then LeBron didn't commit that night, I was actually wondering, does this mean he's having second thoughts? Does this mean this could go another way? The way it was explained to me by people who know him is that it's a longer play than that. And there's risk in a 33, turning 34-year-old making a long play. But I think the idea is you got Magic Johnson. There's cap space. There are young players who could either develop or could be traded for stars. And you've got, like, the Laker lure, right? And as he ages, and maybe he's not the main lure or the biggest lure in the NBA, then he'll have the Lakers with him. You know, it's a celebrity marriage in that way. And then he'll have, you know, something else there to offer free agents, to offer other players to play with him, and that he might be able to pick off, you know, another couple championships when he's older. Because clearly, if you look at this team for this year, it's hard to imagine them not being the team that's going to knock off the Warriors.
Yeah, certainly not this year. Now, Lee, when you mentioned the free agents, one of the thoughts has been that part of the reason why other free agents did not want to come to the Lakers in the past was either the presence of Kobe Bryant on the roster or the specter of him in retirement. No matter how much success you had as a Laker, Lee, you'd still be in Kobe's shadow. I understand that Kobe's or LeBron's not like the others, but what's your sense as to the dynamic between LeBron and Kobe?
Amicable. I wonder how this looks. I just wonder how it looks, Jim, if they lose. You know, and it's not just if they lose a little bit in the beginning, the way they did in Cleveland or the way they did in Miami. I mean, if they're, because by the tone of your voice, you think they'll be what? You think they'll be fifth in the West? Or like, where do you put them?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I think that next year, the thinking is you get into the postseason, but they're not a threat to anybody next year, Lee. We know this. In fact, what's really weird to me, Lee, is that you've got LeBron, and I can appreciate the long play here, but I think this guy is literally going to, I don't want to say waste, but he's giving away a prime year of his career when he's running out of time, because we know he's not going to win next year.
No,
we know that for a fact.
The reason I asked was, okay, so how does that look if he's their fifth or sixth in the West, and, you know, Kobe's... You know, I don't know, Kobe's on Twitter and LeVar's on his shows, and you start to get that kind of needling from a Laker fan base that clearly has high expectations, you know, much higher than, you know, probably would have been in Cleveland. And I think the way these guys look at things, the way people like Kobe Bryant look at them and LeBron James and probably Michael Jordan's, they don't see that, right? They don't look at the worst-case scenario. There's so much confidence, and that's part of what makes them great. It's part of what I think shields them from those sorts of failures. But you do kind of wonder if they don't get Kawhi and if it does sort of slide in a way that's more dramatic, if they are losing a lot more than what he did, let's say, even in Cleveland when you kind of felt him, I mean, from afar, it felt like crisis, right, at times with the Cavs and at times with the Heat. So what if it really is like their fifth or sixth? You know, how does he respond to that? How does, from afar, Kobe and LeVar and the Laker fan base respond to that? So there is risk for him personally.
I agree.
If it goes sideways.
Yeah, I was going to say, excuse me, I really agree. I think there is risk. I think that his legacy, while intact, is not bulletproof. I think that could be a really bad look for him. That said, if he stays in Cleveland, no matter what he does, he's fine. If he goes to, say, Houston, he's got a much better chance of winning. So if he's assuming all this risk and it's the path of greater resistance, why, in fact, is he doing it?
Well, because I do think long term. I mean, let's play it out to like 36, okay? And I know maybe that's too deep. 35, 36, 37, and those are years when, if you're Kobe, Michael, like their games, they aged okay, but they're still scorers, right? They're not going to age probably as well as LeBron James has the capacity to age. You could put him in the post. He could pass out of it. You know, when you think about the way he plays, it's not so crazy to think of him later on in life as a really good second, even third option when he's older, still picking off titles. If you're going to do that anywhere, probably L.A. is as good a place as any to be able to do that, because you'll always be able to get players. Now, his lure for other players is, again, Paul George didn't come to L.A. Kyrie Irving did ask out of Cleveland. So that is probably a good conversation worth having. But the Laker lure, I think, is still really solid, even though they've whiffed these past several seasons.
We're talking to Lee Jenkins for a few more moments. Lee, what about that point, though? Is there something to it? I mean, I could say Kyrie Irving didn't want to play with him, or I could say, well, Kyrie is kind of a different cat. Well, Paul George didn't want to play with him, but Paul George is kind of a different cat. Kawhi may or may not want to play with him as well. I mean,
they're all different cats.
They're all different cats, though, right? These are all different guys. So does this say something about LeBron, or does this say something about all the other guys who may not want to play with him?
Well, right, everybody's in a different point in their career. Everybody has something else that they want to satisfy, right? Kyrie Irving wanted to see probably how good he could be, in the same way James Harden saw how good he could be in Houston. So something else drives everybody. I do think there will be enough players who will want to play with LeBron James. But look, there's clearly a shadow. There's a huge shadow. And if you want to be a star and if you want to be the guy who fronts a franchise, then no. Then obviously that would probably be an impediment. If you're someone who just wants to get to the finals and wants as many open shots as you can get, well, he'll get them for you. So it probably depends on the player. But I do think him aligning with the Lakers, you know, if it's in Cleveland, it's all about him, right? Everybody is just going there because of LeBron. In L.A., there are other factors, and Magic's one of them, too. I think he was able to connect. I think the idea of partnering with somebody who really is so much like him. I don't think LeBron always played like Magic, probably, but in these past several years, when you think about the business stuff and the charity and kind of his off-court demeanor and the way he is at press conferences, he's become more like Magic for the league, probably more than Jordan.
I think so too, Lee. I think that Magic, there seems to be a sense that, oh, he was coming. He was coming no matter what, and it didn't matter who was in that spot. I don't buy that. I think that Magic deserves credit. I think Magic is one of the reasons why LeBron came here. And I think if Magic were not in that spot, and Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak still were, I'm not so sure he's coming. Let me finally ask you this. What about Kawhi, Lee? In terms of Kawhi, there are conflicting reports. And, man, that story is so weird.
Yeah,
who knows what you can believe. Do you personally, Lee, think it's more or less likely that Kawhi would come to the Lakers because LeBron is there?
My sense on that was that he still wanted to front a franchise, that he didn't necessarily want to be part of the super team, but that's more speculative than anything. And so even though that was kind of my sense of where his group sort of wanted him, not that word again, but that they sort of wanted him to be the guy somewhere and not necessarily fall in behind a player, which would definitely open the door for a team like the Clippers. But the longer this goes on, Jim, I wonder if a team doesn't take the same shot Oklahoma City did, because it feels like they're going to reach a sticking point with Brandon Ingram and the Lakers. And if that is a sticking point, it does open the door for a random to come in, somebody we don't necessarily expect, and just take a shot on a year with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, and didn't that show people that nothing's sure, nothing's a lock, you never really know? And then a last follow, Lee, I love what you just said about that group and that word again. Do you buy that report that group hid that player from the brass of that team? And if so, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I do buy it. It's a great reporter and somebody who's well-sourced in that organization. So, no, I totally buy it. And I mean, that thing just went obviously that relationship just went so sideways with them, and really speaks to kind of the larger impetus on these teams, these coaching staffs, these front offices. It's hard to get these guys. It's hard to get. There are only about 10 of them in the world who really matter. And when you get them, you've got to preserve that relationship with them, with the people around them. I think it's different than baseball, than football. I mean, you saw a little bit of it maybe with Tom Brady, but the people around these people are often just as important as the player at the center of it. And that's probably more true of Kawhi Leonard than anybody, because it's not a strong personality and it's not a big communicator. So if you're trying to get the real deal out of him, a lot of times you have to go to the people who are probably a bit on the periphery of him. And in this case, something was lost.
Lee Jenkins, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, joins us once again. Lee, you're the best. Thank you very much. And it's always great to talk to you on the show, Lee.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that, man.
Have a great weekend, Lee. Lee Jenkins. All right, so lots of good information in there, too. I love that point that he made. Lots of points that he made, but I love that point, too, that in terms of Kawhi Leonard, and Spurs fans they've lost their collective bleep over this guy. In terms of Kawhi Leonard, there are maybe 10 of these guys in the world, and it's not like any other sport. It's not like baseball. It's not like football. If there are 10 of these guys in the entire world, you better make sure that you stay as close to these guys as possible. And staying close to these guys also means staying close to the group around these guys. I'm not saying it's the Spurs' fault, but you can't let that happen. Not when you have an alpha, an all-NBA player, a top-five talent, an MVP. You can't let it happen. And again, I'm shocked that it happened with a franchise like the Spurs, one of the best-run franchises in basketball. But maybe Kawhi and his, quote, group are that far out there. I mean, again, who's to blame here? When I say who's to blame here, who's the bad guy here, Spurs fan rushes in and said, are you kidding? Are you asking me that question? Kawhi's the bad guy, and here's 50 reasons why. Hey, again, I know you're bent, but you're not there. You don't know exactly what was said. Who knows? I know it's a bad, bad deal, a bad situation. The guy completely out of hand and probably is irreconcilable and irreparable. All right, when we come back, we are open until the middle of hour number two. Hit us up, 1-800-636-8686. Getting maximum performance out of anything depends once again on what you put into anything. If you want to achieve maximum performance at work, for instance, then put in the extra time. When you want maximum performance from your kids, put in the extra effort and the tools. And then when you want maximum performance from your vehicle, just drop in Castrol Edge. It's the titanium strong motor oil. You see, modern engines are smaller and more powerful than ever before. The pressure in the engine is as much as five cars resting on a high heel. High engine pressures cause significant stress on the oil, so the oil you have in your car needs to be strong, and it needs to stay strong. That's Castrol Edge. It's formulated with fluid titanium technology to help reduce friction and to maximize your engine's performance. Castrol Edge, as you know by now, is three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It was proven in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VisGrade. Put it in your car today, Castrol Edge. How about a sports update? Here is the latest for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Every Friday is an ATP day. ATP stands for Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, submit a question. I will listen to, or you should be listening to, the program a little bit later on. I'll answer one of them. Remember, do not submit the question to Twitter. I'm not going to read it there. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You see Grayson Allen's act last night. That didn't take long, did it? And my take on that may not be what you think it is. I'll have that for you in a moment or two. In the meantime, this jump today, this email reads, "Yo, Romy, it's so great to hear your voice again, but racking Lauren's call yesterday was a straight troll job, right? I had tears laughing at the random thoughts that stumble out of Lauren's mouth. You're such a kidder." Signed, Nikki, unwar the guy who hand waters his front yard in an open robe. Not even a robe, but an open robe. Nikki, Nick, you're the best, Nikki. Nikki, you think that me racking her was a straight troll job? Wait until I put her in the smack off. And in terms of you having tears laughing at the random thoughts that stumble out of Lauren's mouth, I'm not really sure where you're going with that.
Brazil's going to take it. I know I said Germany was going to take it. I know I can beat Mona I'm going to tear her ticket up. I'll tell you that much. I know I can do this, and I know I can run all day. Not run all day. I don't want to be racked.
What do you mean random thoughts that stumble out of her mouth?
And I just ate a big-ass bowl of Honey Smacks.
And she tagged her call like that, too. Quote, "I just ate a big-ass bowl of Honey Smacks." In the same call where she said that she wanted to apologize to Mona for taking a run at her because she did not know that she had beaten back cancer, but she's still going to rip that ticket right out of her hand. And she chased that by smashing a big-ass bowl of Honey Smacks. So what do you mean random thoughts just come pouring out of her mouth? What do you mean, Nikki?
A big-ass bowl of Honey Smacks.
So that jumped the day. This email says, "Hey, Cormier, you're supposed to take a dive during the fight, not before it. Regards, boxing." So Daniel Cormier comes on the show yesterday, did a great interview like he does every single time he comes on the program. They had a presser. They finished the presser. He got up to walk away and tripped on a speaker, I believe, and went down. And went down hard. I mean, that was a pretty scary thought. He said it's not going to be an issue, but that's not a good thing on the eve of a fight like that, where he's trying to win another strap, win the heavyweight championship of the world. This guy writes, "War pill-popping Ursae ignoring Hunter S. Thompson's advice to draft Ryan Leaf." Kind of a wacky story. And listen, the only thing wackier than that story is, And I remember this vividly because I was hosting this show and had a conversation at that time. There was a legitimate debate, Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning. I mean, a legitimate debate. And I'm going to be, I'll be real, and I don't feel good about this at all. This is not a good look. I actually was one of those people trying to debate the other side. I remember Lee Steinberg and I had a long conversation about this. And Steinberg, obviously repping Ryan Leaf, was emphatic. But one of the arguments was Peyton Manning was a near-finished product coming out of college. And Ryan Leaf, although he was kind of a mess, he had such tremendous upside, physically especially. So Peyton Manning was a near-finished product, and Ryan Leaf was already good but could get so much better. There really was an argument at that time, and Hunter S. Thompson was not the only guy making that argument. I mean, it sounds like the most whack argument ever. But back then, it really wasn't.
Don't talk to me, all right?
Knock it off. Dear Jim, why is Kawhi even that mad? Because the Frenchie made one crack about him? You know what? That's actually legit. Yours, James Kelly, curiously MIA following his mean tweets. Brett from Bugahaw. War Kelly, currently squatting in the office hall closet, dipping into Hawk's emergency Slim Jim stash. He's not hiding. The staff is not hiding, James Kelly, a.k.a. Flight Deck. He had a long weekend. Lots of people have a long holiday weekend. This guy's got nothing to hide. He sat right there front and center. He read all your mean tweets.
Nice, man.
Hey, Brett, you're never, ever going to beat Gino. And just because Gino dropped a couple of, quote, Frenchie blasts on Tony Parker yesterday does not make it all right. It wasn't all right for him, and it's definitely not all right for you.
Because a Frenchie, Tony Parker, hurt your feelings?
Speaking of which, Gino, I meant to say this yesterday, but you wouldn't stop talking, so I had to end your phone call. I meant to reiterate, and I meant to ask you, are you going to be there on July 20th? Gino, I know you're one of those guys that's hit or miss on that day. I know you've got a whack schedule, crazy schedule. Gino, I'd love to see you on the 20th. You are invited to the Smack Off. You're invited to every single Smack Off. Gino, be there. I would hate for you to waste a Smack Off quality call yesterday on the 5th when you can have something on the 20th. Are you going to be there? Gino in San Antonio, the invite is there. I'd love to have you. One more Smack Off note. Yesterday, on a whim, not so much on a whim, I'm setting it up, but I thumbed out a quick text to Chael Sonnen. I don't do that a lot. I mean, to be really honest, he and I don't have that kind of relationship. I don't do that. I mean, I consider Chael really important to the program. I literally consider Chael a friend. I mean, a friend, for sure. But we don't text back and forth. After the show, I texted Chael to touch base with him. And I said something to the effect of, dude, are you good for the 20th? Are you still set for the 20th? And no joke, he responded maybe in 3 seconds. Maybe. Maybe 1 second. And when I said to him, are you good for the 20th? His response was, within 3 seconds, and I quote, come on, ... And that was the nature of that exchange. Like, come on, man, really? Are you texting me with that? Quote, come on. Where that leaves Mike and Indy, I've got no idea. All right, so I'm trying to give away a golden ticket. It is Smack-Off season. This guy wants one. He thinks he's got the game. I would love to have a 2.0 in here. Let's go to Grand Rapids. Peyton in Grand Rapids. Peyton, good morning. How are you?
Alfa Romeo. How's it going?
Good, man. How about you? How are things?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for the vine. Hey, I was just thinking the other day about this year's Smack Off and realized that this year's competition field is wide ass open. I mean, when you think about some of the main participants, you got Mike and Undy, who's looking more and more like a no-show by the minute. You got Les and Laguna, who can't do his stupid-ass gimmicks anymore, so he'll probably be a no-show, because he can't have a solid call without having to barge into the studio every single year. You got Jeff in Richmond. I mean, this guy hasn't had a solid call in the last 15 years of the Smack-Off, Romy. This leaves me with the two Canadians. Romy, Canadians are known for one thing, hockey. And American teams have been whooping their asses for 25 years now at their own sport. And I would say this surprises many. You have predicted this every single year that an American team would win. because you know more than anyone that Canada sucks. Lastly, Romy, when I win this smack off come July 20, and I win that. That's
not a good call. No. Hey, did you just say when you win the smack off on July 20th? Not a very good call. You're going to win the smack off with Mike in Undy smack. You got to be in it to win it, my man. You're not in it. Peyton, I appreciate the phone call. Dude, don't ever think you're smack off material. This is great. At LeBron Fatigue tweets, War Ross from Friends working on the XR4 Ti now. Can we get a shot? Can we get a shot? There it is. If you're watching CBS Sports Network, you might have wondered what happened to Ross from Friends. He's filling in this week behind the other side of the glass. What's up, Ross? Man, how the mighty have fallen. Bro, didn't you used to make $1 million an episode with all the other knobs on Friends? From Jennifer Aniston to working a robot behind Hawk part-time. Damn, what's next? Is Chandler going to screen calls? Cube is coming up next hour. Open phones next segment. Do not go anywhere.